I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. The study that we've been going through in these past few weeks is about the local church. And the last section that we've been looking at is purpose-driven or purposely deceived. That is, the purpose-driven or purposely deceived church, local church. And last time, we started talking about the five fundamentals of the faith. Dr. Rick Warren stated on May 23, 2005 at the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, and I quote once again, he said the word fundamentalist actually comes from a document in the 1920s called the Five Fundamentals of the Faith, and it is a very legalistic, narrow view of Christianity. Well, those five fundamentals, as we looked at, the first one is the Bible. He evidently thinks that's legalistic and a narrow view of Christianity. The second fundamental that he's speaking of here is Jesus Christ. He evidently thinks that Jesus Christ is legalistic and is a narrow view of Christianity. And then the third is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He evidently thinks the resurrection is legalistic. And the fourth is the payment for sin. That is, Christ's atonement and his payment for sin, for the sin of those people who would call upon him, ask him to come into their heart and be saved to go to heaven. He thinks that's legalistic. And then fifth, he believes the second coming of Jesus Christ evidently is legalistic. The second coming is literal. Jesus Christ is coming back literally. And of course, we know that we who name the name of Jesus Christ, we will be going to be with him before he comes back the second time. We'll be caught up in the clouds to be with him forever. And as we looked at the last time, that Jesus Christ is coming back and we're coming with him. Revelation 19:14 says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Well, how do you get that fine linen, white and clean? How do you get the right clothing? You ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. He clothes you with the robe of righteousness that you can be with him. And you need to do that so you can come back with me and others who have trusted him. You need to ask him to come into your heart and save you. You need to be sorry for the sin that's in your life. You need to ask him to save you so that you can come back with us who have already trusted him as Savior. We'll be coming back in a literal coming back of Jesus Christ. We'll be coming back with him. Well, Dr. Warren also talks about the old pillars. We left off here last time. Dr. Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Church and The Purpose-Driven Life, has stated this. When you reveal the vision of the purpose-driven church to a church, the old pillars are going to leave. But let them leave. They only hold things up. End of quote. Well, he's right. The old pillars hold the local church up. These are senior members of a local church. It seems that many local churches today they don't pay attention to the older people. They simply say, let them go. They're just holding back the young people. Well, I believe that the old pillars are also keeping the churches from falling into apostasy. So when we get rid of the old pillars, I believe there's problems. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, that means to be realistic, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober, to be serious about the things of God, according to that verse. Old pillars? Well, the old pillars hold the church and leaders up in prayer. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32 says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." I thank God for the pillars of the faith who have helped me through these years, who have given me instruction in the Word of God, who have helped me study the Word of God. Old pillars, yes, they're holding the church up. But once they're gone, who's going to hold the church up? Instead of tearing down the old pillars, churches should do as the Lord says, honor the face of the old man. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. Now, it is the senior members of the church who do indeed hold a church up and keep it from falling into apostasy. Younger members, too, can hold to the basic principles of faith, joining with the older pillars, and become pillars in their own right. Well, I believe there's warning signs that need to be heeded. And some of those warning signs is this. Now, I talked about this in one of our earlier studies on the purpose-driven or purposely deceived local church. I talked about the contemporary or the rock-style music. And once again, let me remind you that there is no such thing as Christian rock, just as there is no such thing as Christian homosexuality, sin, Christian adultery, Christian sin. There's no such thing. And I wrote a booklet on contemporary music and rock music, so-called Christian rock music. And did you ever hear the saying, sex, drugs, and rock and roll? Well, that's exactly where the Christian rock music is coming from. So many of these rock musicians, and it's proven, behind the scenes, do nothing less than the so-called secular rockers, so-called secular musicians when they are behind the scenes. Not all of them, but many of them have a drug problem and have a drinking problem of alcohol. And this is something that should not be. We should not be sending our children to see these ungodly performances, ungodly entertainers who name the name of Jesus as the one who's leading them when they look like the world, act like the world, and do the things of the world. We should protect our young people from this. Well, something else is name changing, such as sanctuary to auditorium, dressing down to casual attire. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 talks about this. It says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array." That means not to go in to show off, but to look decent. We don't have to dress in a tuxedo. We need to dress modestly, respectively, for our Lord. And I believe there's another warning sign, new perversion Bibles being used. Orally used verses flashed on a screen and referenced during regular services. These are warning signs I'm talking about. The word church may be called a campus. Elimination of altar calls or salvation invitations at the close of services. The marginalizing or ostracizing of all who are not avid promoters of the purpose-deceiving program. These people are ostracized. If you don't go along with it, you'll soon find yourself on the outside looking in. And let me say this, that there are still Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local churches who stand on the Word of God. If you're going to one of these churches who has become this purpose-driven, purpose-deceiving local church, then you need to get out. And you need to get into a Bible-believing local church. They're there. They're here. You say, "Well, there's none close to my home." Well, you need to get away from your home. You need to drive a little bit. And you need to find you a good Bible-believing local church. Well, what's the answer? I just gave you one of them. Get into a good Bible-believing local church. Well, another thing is to stay alert. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 6 says, "But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them. He is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm warning as a watchman on the wall. And that's what every Christian is supposed to be doing, is warning others about the dangers of hell, of going there. Nobody should go there. They should go to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ. And we should be warning each other about the apostasy that's being brought into local churches, deceiving people into believing that what is happening there in these purpose-driven, purposely deceived churches is right when it's wrong. Be alert. Isaiah 21:6 says, "For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, set a watchman. Let him declare what he seeth." In other words, tell the truth. Isaiah 58:1, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Now, if you don't agree with what I've been saying, you need to write me a letter. You need to go to the website and send me an email, lrwm.org. Send me an email or write me a letter. And you'll hear these addresses at the end of the program. You need to write me, but let me caution you. When you write me, don't tell me what you think. Tell me what you see in the Word of God if you believe I'm wrong in what I've been saying to you. Another answer is not only to be alert, but is let the Lord build the church. He said in Matthew 16:18, he says, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," that's him, that's Jesus Christ, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Psalm 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." The first part of that verse says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." If you depend upon programs, if you depend upon music, if you depend upon anything in the local church other than Jesus Christ, now I'm not saying don't go out and invite people and ask people to be saved. I'm not telling you not to do that. I'm telling you don't depend upon it. Depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ to build, not upon programs. Be careful. There are many wolves in sheep's clothing. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Stay in the Word of God. Stay true to the Lord. And let God lead you. 2 John 1:10 says, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." I've told you some of the doctrines that Dr. Warren says is not important. Those five fundamentals of the faith. Purpose-driven or purposely deceived. Stay alert. Do what the Lord has for you. Do not forsake your part in the battle. Father, thank you for this time we've had together. I pray for that person who's never trusted you. May that person trust you today by saying, "Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior right now." Thank you, Lord.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.